Fulton, KXOL, Information 24 News, Fulton. Here is a bulletin from Dallas. President Kennedy was shot today just as his motorcade left downtown Dallas. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed Mr. Kennedy. She cried, "Oh no!" The motorcade sped on.
Police Chief Buddy McGill reported today three telephone threats were made against the life of President Kennedy before the president's arrival in Houston yesterday. McGill said, "We attribute these things to pranks, but it always scares us to death. I really have never stopped shaking the whole time he was here." Dick Mahan has further details.
In Washington, Senator Edward Kennedy, the president's brother, was presiding over the Senate today when word came that the president had been shot. An aide informed him he rushed from the Senate chamber. Attorney General Robert Kennedy, the president's younger brother and closest advisor, was having lunch at home when word of his brother's shooting reached him. Kennedy's personal secretary said the attorney general was remaining in the Kennedy Hickory Hill estate in McLean, Virginia. Youthman carried the word to the House Speaker John McCormick at the luncheon table. "This is terrible," he said in an almost inaudible voice. "All I can say is that it is a terrible thing, and all Americans of all religions and faiths are praying for the president and Governor Conlon." The Associated Press quotes two priests in Dallas as saying that Kennedy is dead. There is no confirmation. This is the Associated Press quoting two priests as saying President Kennedy is dead, repeating, no confirmation of this information.
A flash on the Associated Press wire. Two priests now say that President Kennedy is dead. And it happened in Dallas, Texas.
This urgent bulletin from Washington, government sources are quoted as saying President Kennedy is dead. This seems to be the official word.
A few moments ago, a member of the White House staff walked into the newsroom here at Parkland Hospital and announced President John F. Kennedy died at 1 p.m. today in Dallas. He died of a gunshot wound in the brain. He said, "I have nothing more to say." The gentleman, close to the president, obviously on the verge of tears as he made the statement. "We have received word that the governor was wounded twice. His exact condition not known at this moment. The hospital in a state of shock. We can't believe it happened, first of all. And secondly, they can't believe it happened in Dallas. But it has. An assassin's bullet has claimed the life of the President of the United States. Lyndon Johnson, the Vice President, who was riding in a car, two cars behind that of the President, separated from him only by a Secret Service automobile, now becomes the President of our country. Mr. Johnson and his wife, along with Senator Ralph Yarbrough, leaped into the floorboard of their automobile when a Secret Service agent shouted to them, 'Get down, get down, get down.' The president's car, from the intersection of Elm and Houston where the shooting occurred, drove directly to this hospital. We are told that the shot was fired from one of the upper floors of a downtown building. That perhaps we have more on at the newsroom. These details are very sketchy here at the hospital. The press room is being set up here in the hospital now. We expect further and more full information very shortly. Mrs. Kennedy, of course, as we said in an earlier broadcast, walked into the hospital. She's somewhere in this building now. We'll have further reports for you as the afternoon goes along. Our other staff members now arriving here at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. In repeating that statement from the White House, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy died at 1 p.m. today in Dallas. He died of a gunshot wound in the brain.
It's now 3 p.m. It has been 2 hours since the President of the United States was assassinated. We have a direct report from KXOL News at Love Field.
The President of the United States is now the Honorable Lyndon B. Johnson of Texas. Mr. Johnson took the oath of office at 2:39 this afternoon aboard the presidential plane parked here at Love Field. The oath of office was administered by Federal Judge Sarah T. Hughes of Dallas, who was appointed a short time ago to the bench by the late President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Mr. Johnson repeated these words: "I do solemnly swear that I will perform the duties of the President of the United States to the best of my abilities,
and defend, protect, and preserve the Constitution of the United States. A black Bible was used in the swearing-in ceremony. On the new president's left stood the widow of President Kennedy, Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy, still wearing the raspberry-colored dress which she had worn coming in to Dallas. Her left leg, her stocking, saturated with blood from one of the two men in the automobile. According to a Brule reporter, it was quite obvious that Mrs. Kennedy had been crying and crying quite hard. He said that the compartment of the presidential plane where the swearing-in ceremony took place was jammed with people, about 25 to 30 persons in that compartment. He said that Mrs. Kennedy came in unassisted just before the oath was administered. She stood at President Johnson's left. Mrs. Johnson stood at her husband's right. Immediately after the ceremony, the new president embraced Mrs. Kennedy, embraced his wife, and embraced a third woman, the president's secretary, President Kennedy's secretary, who was also present at the ceremony. The plane then took off. The body of John Fitzgerald Kennedy was aboard the plane when it took off for Washington. President Johnson had nothing to say, no comment after the swearing-in, except, okay, let's get this plane back to Washington. A sad flight for the nation's top executives. This is Bruce Neal with Russ Bloxham and Jerry Hahn at Love Field.
They saw a man go into the theater. Subsequently, 20 uniformed and plainclothes Dallas policemen surrounded the Texas Theater and entered through the rear and front of the building. The house lights were turned on, and an usher, from the description provided by the officers, the man that they were seeking, pointed out the man they thought was him, who was sitting in the center section on the third row from the back of the theater. Dallas policemen Ray Hawkins, C.T. Walker, and Bob Carroll came in off the stage. The house lights, you will remember, were on. They approached the man, and the man was quoted by M.N. McDonald, another Dallas policeman, as saying, "This is it." And the man brought out a snub-nosed 38 revolver. McDonald said that he grabbed for it. As the man tried to fire the weapon misfired. There was a scuffle, and finally the suspect gave up, and he was brought to the Dallas police station. That suspect is identified as 24-year-old Lee Harvey Oswald of 1026 North Beckley in the Oak Cliff section. He was staying at a rooming house. Word is that his wife was living with some other people in Irving. 2 years ago, Oswald is said to have wanted Russian citizenship. And in 1959, he told the U.S. Embassy in Moscow he had applied for Soviet citizenship, said he had been a tourist in Russia. He did put up a wild fight at the theater. We have reports that a Meissner rifle, a German-made weapon, has been taken into custody. That weapon found in the stairwell of the school book depository building at 411 Elm, where Oswald supposedly had worked about 2 months for a bookbinding company housed in that particular building. The president was waving to sidewalk throngs near the Triple Underpass at Elm and Houston when gunfire erupted, apparently, from the school book depository building. And squad cars and motorcycles with sirens wheeling sped through the downtown Dallas area moments after the shooting as all available officers were pressed into service. More than 100 patrolmen and detectives arrived to search the book building and surrounding structures. Firemen joined the search of the building, used hook and ladder fire trucks to upper floors to aid in the search with high-powered spotlights. At 2:30 this afternoon, the search of the building was completed. At this time, still, no reporter has been allowed to talk to the suspect. We, just prior to making this report, talked with Police Chief Ben Curry. He said that he would consider the suspect that the Dallas Police Department has as a good suspect in connection with the assassination of President John Kennedy. At this time, reporters are attempting to get some kind of briefing set up. Chief Curry said that he could not give the permission, that we would have to get that from the Secret Service representatives here who are working with the Dallas Police Department in an attempt to solve this tragic incident. So at the moment, that is the latest from the Dallas Police Station. KXOL newsman Bruce Neal, along with this reporter, standing by, watching and waiting several hours after darkness has fallen over a gloomy day in Dallas. Russ Blockson reporting, KXOL News.
Here is the basic situation in Washington. The body of President Kennedy has been returned to Washington, accompanied by his wife and the new president, Lyndon Johnson. In Washington, the body of the president will remain at the U.S. Naval Hospital in Bethesda, Maryland tonight. It will be moved to the White House tomorrow to the Capitol Rotunda on Sunday. Plans for the funeral, expected to be in Boston, are as yet incomplete. In Dallas, Governor John Conley, shot through the chest in the same ambush attack, is now reported out of danger following surgery. As you heard moments ago, KXOL's Bruce Neal and Russ Blocksom are at the Dallas Police Headquarters, where Oswald, the assassin, is being questioned. There will be more reports from there, and as the night wears on, KXOL News will continue to cover this, the darkest day in Texas history. Thank you, Charles Wallace. Complete news throughout the evening, heard first on KXOL Radio, 1360 AM, 99.5 FM. 25 minutes past 6 o'clock, we will continue to bring you continuous music throughout the evening and immediate reports as they happen with the complete KXOL news staff on duty. This is Friday, November the 22nd. The President of the United States is dead.
Governor John Conley of Texas, wounded by the shots from the same gun that killed Kennedy, is reported in serious but not critical condition. It was just today that President Kennedy was in Fort Worth. Some of his last words are recorded.
First truly intercontinental bomber, the B-36, was produced here. The B-58, which is the finest weapon system in the world today, which is demonstrated most recently in flying from Tokyo to London with an average speed of nearly 1,000 miles per hour, is a Fort Worth product. The Iroquois helicopter from Fort Worth is a mainstay in our fight against the guerrillas in South Vietnam. The transportation of crews between our missile sites is done in planes produced here in Fort Worth. So wherever the confrontation may occur, and in the last 3 years it's occurred at least three occasions in Laos, Berlin, and Cuba, and it will again, wherever it occurs, the products of Fort Worth and the men of Fort Worth provide us with a sense of security.
The late President Kennedy, in his speech in Fort Worth, a speech made only hours before he was killed in Dallas. President Kennedy, mortally wounded by an assassin, died at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. It was approximately 1 o'clock this afternoon. His death came approximately 30 minutes after two rifle bullets fired from ambush struck him in the head and neck as he drove through Dallas in his open-top limousine. 1 hour and 35 minutes after Kennedy's death, Vice President Lyndon Johnson had taken the oath to office as the 36th President of the United States aboard the plane on which he would accompany the late President's body back to Washington. He was to say in Washington later, "I'll do my best. That's all I can do. I ask yours and God's help." The President's wife was spared by the volley of shots that killed the President and wounded Governor John Conley of Texas, who had been seated beside him in the car. The Democratic Governor's condition was described tonight as serious, but not critical, following an emergency operation this afternoon. A doctor estimated that Conley will be hospitalized for 10 to 14 days. He said that the governor had not been told of the president's immediate death. Kennedy was struck down on the second day of a planned three-day goodwill tour of Texas. He had flown to Dallas from here in Fort Worth. He was en route by motorcade to a speaking appearance at the Dallas Trade Mart when the final shots rang out. Police believe the gunman was hiding in the upper story of a storage building that commanded an unobstructed view of the presidential motorcade. He took direct aim at the president's head through the telescopic sights on his high-powered rifle. There were three shots. One of them struck the president in the back of the head, the other at the base of the neck. The third shot wounded Governor Conley in the side. The president fell face forward, blood spurting from his face as Mrs. Kennedy, seated in front of him, cried out, "Oh no," and clutched his head in her hands. The motorcade raced to Parkland Hospital near the trademark, and Kennedy was rushed to the emergency ward. He received a blood transfusion, then extreme unction from the two Roman Catholic priests. Doctors said that Kennedy never regained consciousness. One added later, "We never had any hope of saving his life." KXOL's Bruce Neal, along with Russ Bloxham, are in Dallas, where the alleged assassin is being questioned by police. There will be more reports from Bruce and Russ within minutes. Now we switch to a taped report made earlier this afternoon by KXOL newsman Dick Mahan. Some reactions of Fort Worth people as recorded on the street.
Mahan, Kennedy, what is your reaction to this tragedy today?
Sir, we're just completely horrified. It is nothing like it ever hit anywhere. We're all just shocked, but we've got to try to keep the nation together. That's the thing. We've got not let these other people think we don't have a leader. We do have a leader. He was sworn in almost immediately, but after seeing President Kennedy just a few feet from him, I'm just forward, that's all. I was just glad I was glad I could see him and that we were able to prevent it happening over here. We were just lucky, that's all.
What is your name?
Bob Arlington, Jr.
Mr. Arlington, what is your reaction to today's tragedy?
Well, it's rather unbelievable. You might suspect something like it happened 20 years ago, but not at this day and time. It's terrible.
What do you think the future of our nation is?
Well, it's a crisis that things could drop within big businesses and other things. It's terrible.
Thank you. What is your name, please?
This is Frank Rady.
Mrs. Rady, what is your reaction to today's tragic event?
I was very sad, and I think it's just the most horrible thing that ever happened.
What do you think the future of our nation is now?
I don't know. It looks very gloomy, I think.
We're talking to Russ Bloxham, who is in the Dallas police station. Russ tells us that Captain Will Fritz, head of the Dallas Police Department Homicide Squad, has told him that murder charges have been filed against Lee Oswald. Russ, is this in connection with the shooting of the police officer? The murder charge is in connection with the shooting of the Dallas police officer this afternoon, a short time after President Kennedy was killed. Has Oswald made any statement concerning the shooting of the president, Russ? The suspect, Oswald, has made no statement concerning the shooting of the president. Russ Bloxham will have further details as they become available. Russ has one other item. What is it, Russ? Russ asked Captain Will Fritz if they had the bullet which killed President Kennedy. Captain Fritz replied, no, they did not. Then Captain Fritz was asked if they had one of the bullets which entered the body of Governor Conley. The captain replied that they have shattered portions of the bullet which entered Governor Conley's body.
The primary piece of evidence in the murder of the president is a 6.5-millimeter Italian-made rifle, 1940 model, no name on it. It's equipped with a scope. One live round was found inside the weapon, and the weapon itself was found on the fifth floor of the book building from which officers say the shot which killed the president was fired. The ballistic experts are still going over that weapon. It has been taken to the Dallas Crime Laboratory. This is Bruce Neal along with Russ Bloxham in Dallas.
The president is dead, but the news story, as facts continue to filter into the KXOL newsroom, may go on for days. A story that undoubtedly will reverberate around the world. More news will be forthcoming within minutes from KXOL News. Along with Dick Mahan, this is Charles Wallace at the KXOL News Desk.
Oswald has just been taken to the police assembly room here in the police headquarters building for still another lineup where he will be viewed by three persons. It is presumed that this lineup is in connection with the presidential murder. The charges in the officer's case having already been filed against him. Reporters here are speculating that the local authorities are going ahead now with their investigation of the presidential shooting. When he came out of the detective office this time, the look of arrogance which had been on his face in past trips up and down this crowded hall was completely gone. He looked more desolate and lonely than anything else. His mother, who lives in Fort Worth, is here at the police headquarters. His brother from Denton arrived a short time ago. They are talking with Oswald's wife in the forgery division office here, and reportedly they will go to the wife's home in Irving later tonight. So
so far, Oswald, so far as we know, has not seen his mother, his wife, or his brother as yet. He's gone up now for another lineup, perhaps more developments shortly. He has continually denied shooting the president. Charges again have been filed on him in connection with the death of the police officer. This is Bruce Neal, along with Russ Bloxham, reporting from Dallas.
As the initial state of sheer shock begins to wear off, all the eyes of the world are still focused on Dallas, Texas, and on a man named Lee H. Oswald. A Cuban family in a story Dateline New Orleans says that a man named Lee Oswald tried to infiltrate a anti-Castro organization. Carlos Bringay says that Oswald offered himself as a former Marine to train Cubans for an invasion. He said that Oswald was picked up by police at a gathering of anti-Castro Cubans and was convicted and paid a fine. In Dallas, Texas, this suspect named Lee Harvey Oswald has been charged with murder in the shooting of the policeman. KXOL's coverage of President Kennedy's assassination today in Texas will continue within moments. In Dallas, Texas, police know where the gunman who slew President Kennedy sat in ambush. They questioned the suspect at the Dallas Police Headquarters, and there KXOL newsman Bruce Neal reports.
Lee Oswald has for the first time publicly admitted that he was in the building at the time the president was shot, the Buck Building, just a few hundred feet from where the president slumped in his automobile. He was asked, "Were you in the building?" He said, "Naturally, I worked there." Then he said, "I did not kill a president. I'm a patsy." He was being led back to another lineup when he had that statement to make in the crowded hall here outside the homicide offices of the Dallas Police Department. Once again, he's back inside, again being grilled. He's not quite as arrogant as he was when he first came here, but still, the spunk is showing. We expect to have further reports momentarily as soon as we can talk to Captain Wilfritz again. In the meantime, this is Bruce Neal along with Russ Bloxham in Dallas.
The man being questioned is 24-year-old Lee Harvey Oswald. He once lived in Russia after saying that he no longer wanted to be a U.S. citizen. He has a Russian wife. 45 minutes after the president was shot, a policeman was shot to death in another part of Dallas. Oswald was arrested in a nearby theater after someone telephoned police that a suspicious character had been seen entering the theater. He put up a fight as he was arrested and taken to the police station for questioning. Murder charges have been filed. Bruce Neal and Russ Bloxham are standing by to bring the complete story as it unfolds. The mother of a suspect in the slaying of President Kennedy told the Star-Telegram in Fort Worth today, "They all turned their backs on me before. They'll turn their backs on me again, but my faith will see me through." Mrs. Marguerite Oswald apparently was referring to the treatment that she received when her son defected to Russia in 1959. Officers held the son, Lee H. Oswald, 24. He denied the slaying, as you heard reported moments ago. Mrs. Oswald, a short woman with a salt and pepper gray-haired complexion, called the Star Telegram after learning that her son had been arrested. She asked that she be taken to Dallas to see her son. She said she had no friends. Reporters Bob Schieffer and Bill Foster picked her up in a small frame structure on the city's west side. About 3 p.m. they drove her to Dallas. "I want to hear him tell me that he did it," Schieffer quoted her as saying. He said that Mrs. Oswald did not mention the death of the president. She cried quietly. Her talk was punctuated by sobs. He said that her only reference to the incident was this question: "Do they think that he did it?" Mrs. Oswald wore a white uniform. She's a practical nurse. She said that has been her current occupation for the last few years. She would not reveal her age. She reported that Mrs. Oswald made these statements as they drove to Dallas. "Ever since he," meaning Oswald, "came back from Russia, he's been persecuted. I was persecuted. My friends were persecuted. If that's what you want to call them, friends, they all turned their backs. I'm so sorry about my son's wife. She's a Russian. They have a small baby and she can't speak English. If I didn't want to see my son and his wife, I would have stayed at home to see how many of my friends would come by to see me now. But I know the answer. It would be as before. I don't know what my son was doing in Russia. I know what the papers said, but nobody ever gave him a chance to prove his innocence. When they said that he had gone to Russia, that was all they wanted to know. He doesn't come around anymore. I haven't seen him in a year. He never said why he didn't come back to the house, but I know it's because he doesn't want them to persecute me. He knows how they've treated me. He wanted to shoulder it himself." Schieffer said that the trio stopped only once on the way to Dallas. Ms. Oswald asked for a soft drink, saying that she wanted to take a tranquilizer. She took the tranquilizer, and the woman, the mother of the accused slayer, President Kennedy, is now in Dallas. KXOL's continuous coverage of the presidential assassination will continue in minutes here in the newsroom, along with Dick Mahan, Roy Eaton, Russ Bloxham, and Bruce Neal in Dallas. This is Charles Wallace at the KXOL News Desk. KXOL newsman Bruce Neal has just called in a report, and we switch for that report live to Bruce Neal in Dallas.
Here at the Dallas Police Headquarters, the questioning of Lee Oswald continues. At the moment, there's considerable speculation on the value of a roll of color motion picture film, home movie film, shot by a man who was standing very near the spot where President Kennedy was killed today. Apparently, according to the best reports we can get from police officers here at the City Hall, the man was panning, following the presidential limousine at the time that the shot struck the president, and also possibly at the time that the governor was gunned down. That film, we are told, is now in the hands of the FBI, along with the man who shot it. He is being questioned. Witnesses, incidentally, are being screened here with the cooperation of the Sheriff's Office, the Secret Service, and the Police Department. Officers searching for any witness who may have any corroborating evidence to throw into this case. Some of the witnesses have been brought here to the Homicide Division, and their stories have been added to the few details which officers had when this case first began. The questioning of Oswald continues. No new word on what he is saying or what he is not saying. He's continually denied any part in the murder of the president, although he has been placed in the book building from which the shot was fired at the time that the shot was fired. He said, "Actually, I worked there. Of course I was in the building." But he said, "I'm being made a patsy. I did not kill a president." This is Bruce Neal reporting from the Dallas Police Headquarters.
The reports from Dallas will continue throughout the night as Oswald's questioning continues. KXOL newsman Russ Bloxham, along with Bruce Neal, who you just heard, will continue. For more news on the Dallas story, we switch to KXOL's Bruce Neal in Dallas.
Here at Dallas Police Headquarters, with Lee Oswald still undergoing intensive questioning in the Homicide Bureau office, the reporters who are pouring in here from all over the country have now turned their attentions to the story told by a motorcycle officer who was within about 3 feet of the president when the shots rang out and the president slumped into his chair. The officers with whom we have talked, some of whom were in the lead group ahead of the presidential car, say that as soon as the shots rang out, they immediately dashed out, reaching speeds up to 70 miles an hour as they made their way toward Parkland Hospital. They said that one Secret Service agent, for example, who had been standing on one of these specially constructed stands at the rear of one of the presidential limousines, was spread-eagled across the trunk of that car with a foothold, a handhold, and in his other hand, a submachine gun. He rode like that as the presidential cavalcade whipped down the freeway with the mortally wounded president at 70 miles an hour to Parkland Hospital.
As the tragedy struck in Dallas today, it struck despite the most extensive and painstaking precautions made by President Kennedy's renowned Secret Service protectors. Agents had checked minutely into all aspects of Kennedy's Dallas visit. The food he would eat, the flowers he'd sniff, the roads he'd travel, even the buildings he would enter. The quiet but confident men of the Secret Service made a strong impression on local law enforcement officers as they went about their tasks. The security experts were reluctant about permitting the president to speak in the trademark, which has tiers of balconies around its main court. But finally, they agreed, only after intensive investigation, to let the local sponsors have their way. A list of known agitators in Dallas, anyone who might conceivably stir up trouble, was obtained. The Secret Service men made themselves familiar with these people and their patterns. The motorcade route was thoroughly checked out. Trouble spots were noted where traffic or crowd situations might get out of line. All employees at the trademark were given a once-over, along with those in the greeting part at Dallas Love Beat. Presidential press passes were issued only to those newsmen who were approved by news media executive and the Secret Service men. The 5,000 yellow roses flown in for the luncheon were checked. Each and every rose checked to ensure that no bombs or damaging material were included. An order was issued that the president would receive the same steak as the 2,500 guests, and his would be selected at random.
Only by poisoning the entire crowd could anyone succeed in poisoning the president today. All this planning and checking to the most minute detail was done well in advance of Kennedy's arrival. The mechanics of guarding him in Dallas was the job of more than 350 uniformed officers of the Dallas Police Department, many officers from the Sheriff's Office, the Department of Public Safety, and Kennedy's own personal Secret Service guards. The public saw these men, but they didn't detect the swarm of Secret Service men who surrounded the president at all times, ready for, they thought, anything. But for the assassin's bullets fired from behind at the presidential car after it had passed the six-story book warehouse, the job did everything that it was supposed to. But there was one slip-up, a fatal one. Ironically enough, President Kennedy had requested only this morning that the bulletproof plastic bubble that goes over his car be removed and that he and his wife ride in open air in the parade in Dallas. KXOL's news coverage of the presidential assassination will continue. You've been listening to the news coverage on KXOL AM at 1360 and KXOL FM 99.5 in Fort Worth. KXOL's news staff, the entire staff, is standing by to bring you complete details. KXOL's Bruce Neal, along with Russ Bloxham, remain at the police station in Dallas. A reporter is at Parkland Hospital to keep us posted on Conley's condition. Here in the newsroom, Roy Eaton and I are assimilating facts, and as the grim night wears on, the news stories will continue. From the newsroom, this is Charles Wallace.
Told reporters he slowly made his way down the corridor through an array of flashing bulbs, grinding cameras, and numerous questions. He said that the tests would be taken to Parkland Hospital. Now, we understand that these tests were made of the victim's two hands in an effort to determine whether the powder on the victim's hands would match the powder found on the Italian-made 6.5 single-bolt rifle, which was found in one of the stairwells of the multi-floor structure near Elm and Houston, where supposedly the fatal shots were fired, which brought an end to the life of former President John Kennedy. That really is the latest information that we have as a very sometimes confusing, sometimes tiring investigation continues on the third floor of the Dallas Police Station in downtown Big D. Live television cameras already set up eyeing the corridor. Numerous still photographers, motion picture cameramen, and newspaper, radio, television reporters remain in the corridor, hoping to put together, piecemeal by piecemeal, the various events concerning Oswald's possible connection with the assassination of former President John Kennedy. Those tests, once again we'll repeat, have just left the Dallas Police Station en route to Parkland Hospital. One of two officers carrying the apparatus told this reporter, as well as other newsmen at the scene, that they would be taken to Parkland Hospital, and probably the results would not be known until sometime tomorrow. Oswald, earlier this evening, confirmed to have been in the school book depository building at the time of the assassination of the late president. Two Dallas officers have confirmed that they did talk with the man at about the time, or just prior to the time, that the presidential party passed that particular vicinity. The Oswalds, according to these officers, was allowed to remain in the building because, as he told police, he worked there. It has been confirmed that he had worked there for 2 months in the capacity as an employee for the bookbinding company. From the Dallas Police Department, Russ Bloxham reporting KXOL News.
KXOL News, of course, will continue with our coverage of the presidential assassination. The word has been widespread around the nation, reaction great. For reaction locally, KXOL newsman Dick Mahan earlier this afternoon took tape recorder and stepped onto a street corner in downtown Fort Worth. He recorded the reaction of Fort Worth people in the street. These are people who only hours before had heard President Kennedy speak. They'd seen him smile and heard him laugh in Fort Worth. Then they realized he was dead in Dallas. What did they say? Here is that pre-recorded thing.
What is your name, Luke?
Jack Schultz.
What is your reaction to today's tragic event?
I'm very shocked by it, and but not entirely amazed that it could happen in America, because I don't equate our country with a utopia that some people do, and having been a veteran of two wars, I know the ability of man's inhumanity to man, and while I'm shocked and think we've lost a great liberal leader, a true philanthropist of our time, I would only hope that the lesson would benefit as a nation, that we would be drawn closer together, that we would see that our treatment of our brother, to include those upward as well downward, might need to be reconsidered at this time.
And the person we've been speaking of, and you've been listening to on most of these recordings, is Russ Bloxham. Now, Russ is still alive and doing very well in Arlington, Texas these days. In fact, we spoke to him not too long ago to capture his remembrances of this historic event.
Thinking about that day, for me personally, it was total disbelief when the bulletin moved in the newsroom. And I was so shook up by it, I didn't want to read it on the air. And so I went running down the hall and found Roy Eaton, our news director. And he also shared my disbelief, but it had moved as a bulletin from the Associated Press. And so Roy said, get it on the air, get it on the air. And so here I go at age 24, back in the newsroom, and we had an electronic gizmo, for lack of a better word, that allowed us to interrupt programming. And it sounded something like for transition from a news item to a news item in the newscast. But for bulletins, we had a different gizmo, and it sounded something like ding, 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 ding. And I hit it to note that we had some late-breaking news, and my hand stood on that gizmo for about 10 or 12 times before I could read the bulletin. We were that shook up. It was quite a day. Earlier, that was about 12:30, and earlier we had been assigned to follow the motorcade from downtown Fort Worth to the main gate of the old, what was then Carswell Air Force Base. And en route, it started out gloomy, overcast, but by the time the presidential party had gotten into the motorcade and headed north out of Fort Worth, the clouds seemed to break, and we started getting some sunshine, and virtually the entire route that I followed the motorcade on, there were people everywhere, and they were smiling and happy, and it just turned out to be a great sunny part of the morning, and the smiles on the people's faces and the waving and the general tone of happiness really made for a good conclusion to President Kennedy's visit to Fort Worth that morning. So we followed him to the main gate of the Air Force Base, and then my assignment for the mobile coverage concluded at that point, and I went back to the station, relieved that it was all over, and certainly that there had been no incidents. So I get back to the newsroom, and probably a little after noon, and my assignment was to take up the more mundane daily routine business of doing newscasts every hour, and so we started into that routine, and no one else was in the newsroom at that time. So when the bulletin moved about 12:30, Roy said, head to Dallas to join two other colleagues of the news department, Bruce Neal and Jerry Hahn. And so we met up at Parkland Hospital, which, of course, by that time we got over there probably about 1:30. All the activity and events were going on at Parkland, except, of course, the police activity involving the alleged assassin. We stayed at the hospital most of the afternoon trying to follow events as accurately as possible. A lot of people around, a lot of reporters, obviously, and a lot of confusion, a lot of rumors. Then later we went to the Dallas City Hall, where Oswald was, and Bruce and I overnighted there to cover developments during the night, and Roy Eaton was our anchor back in Fort Worth. And while the events were occurring, KXOL was on the air around the clock, and my former wife, Sonda Bloxham, recorded all of it by placing a microphone in front of our radio at home in Fort Worth. One little sidebar here, when we went to Dallas, it was probably the first time that our red and white mobile units had ever been in Dallas, because at that time, in the early 60s, radio there was heavily dominated by a station called KLIF. But frankly, my main role in all that probably was no more than reading the bulletin. But again, as I think I've recounted sufficiently, that was quite historical for me and my role on the day that President Kennedy was shot.
Switch now to Dallas and KXOL newsman Bruce Neal at the police headquarters.
Here at police headquarters in Dallas, the intensive interrogation of 24-year-old Lee Oswald continues with no sign of a letup. It's been some time since we've seen Oswald outside of the homicide room on the third floor of the police headquarters. For a time, he was being brought out periodically to appear in lineups which were described by police to us as quite successful. The lineups and identifications, as well as other evidence, led to his charge of murder in the case of a policeman who was shot to death here this afternoon in Dallas. Now the authorities presumably are bearing down on the death of the president. And so far as we know, he is still steadfastly denying any implication in the president's death, despite the fact that he admits he was in the building from which the shot was supposedly fired. There has been some mention from time to time of a lie detector test or the possibility of one. However, nothing concrete has come of that as yet. As Russ Bloxham told you in his last report, paraffin samples from the man's hands were carried out of the room in three envelopes, but those will not be analyzed until tomorrow. This requires more than the usual analysis. They are not merely looking for powder on the man's hands, but the crime lab must attempt through spectrographic examination and other means to determine exactly what type of powder appears on his hands. The difference between the powder and a bullet fired from a .38 pistol and the powder from a bullet fired from a rifle. Of course, he is accused of shooting the policeman to death with a pistol, and in the case of the president, with a foreign-made rifle. Those test results will not be known until tomorrow. We had anticipated some sort of an announcement from the captain of detectives, Will Fritz, however, that has not been forthcoming. Mr. Fritz, a moment ago, stepped out of the office and down the hall. He was immediately besieged by reporters asking questions, and he had no answers except to indicate that they had nothing solid to report at this time. Incidentally, of incidental interest, the foreign press is here in force now. We have seen reporters, primarily French reporters, although others from other foreign countries, here on the third floor of the police station. We will be standing by throughout the night as the interrogation of Lee Oswald continues, and as soon as there are new developments, you will hear them first as we broadcast them directly from the police station. This is Bruce Neal along with Russ Bloxham in Dallas.
Here in Fort Worth, this is Charles Wallace as the KXOL news team continues to stand by, covering probably the biggest story in the state's history. There will be more coverage soon. In the meantime, stay tuned to KXOL. Bruce Neal and Russ Bloxham will continue to stand by in Dallas throughout the night tonight and tomorrow. Bruce is expected to take what might be termed a short nap, but both of the reporters from KXOL staff will be standing by. I asked Bruce a few minutes ago, isn't it possible that someone else did this, that this man is not the man that they want at all? Bruce replied, yes, it is, but it looks as though the feeling here in the police headquarters is that this definitely must be the man. But as the observing listener, we can stand back and say that it's still possible that Oswald is not the man who killed the president. Indications point that way, but we must remember that he only is the alleged assassin. At any rate, we'll be keeping our eye on the story. We hope you'll keep your ear on KXOL News. The assassination coverage will continue throughout the night tonight with KXOL newsmen manning the newsroom 24 hours a day. Also, our staff in the field standing by to cover any other important events in this story, a big story, probably the largest story in this century.
Charges have been filed. There's no need to call him an alleged assassin anymore. We can call Lee Oswald the presidential assassin until proved innocent. We switch to Dallas now. I'm KXOL newsman Russ Blotsom.
Outside room 317 on the third floor of the Dallas police station, Dallas Police Chief Ben Curry has just announced that murder charges have been filed against 24-year-old Lee Harvey Oswald with the killing of the late President John Kennedy. That announcement just made moments ago, just outside room 317 in the corridor of the Dallas Police Station. Chief Curry pointed out that the investigation had been carried on jointly by the FBI, the Secret Service, the Department of Public Safety, and Dallas County and City law enforcement agencies. Chief Curry said that the man had not confessed, but the charge of murder was accepted by Peace Justice David Johnston of Richardson, the man Oswald ordered held without bond. Dallas District Attorney Henry Wade said that they believe there was enough physical evidence to get a conviction before the Dallas County Grand Jury. At this time, KXOL newsman Bruce Neal is hurrying to the basement of the police station where a press conference will be held by all the respective top officials in connection with this late breaking news report. Once again, Dallas Police Chief Ben Curry has just announced that murder charges have been filed against 24-year-old Lee Harvey Oswald for the assassination of President Kennedy. The top officials just now passing us in the basement of the Dallas Police Station, going to the assembly room in the basement of the Dallas Police Station for this upcoming press conference. We hope to have more for you at that time. Russ Blotsom along with Bruce Neal reporting KXOL News.
Our coverage will continue. At this moment, KXOL FM at 99.5 on your FM dial is leaving the air. As KXOL FM leaves the air, we urge you to join KXOL AM at 1360. And those of you who already are with us on our FM station, they stand by for more coverage.
One of two filed against the man tonight, the other growing out of the death this afternoon of a Dallas police officer. Oswald, moments ago, was brought into the assembly room here in the basement of the Dallas police headquarters. His face sullen, his remarks low in tone, but he flatly denied, once again, his guilt. He said, "The first I knew of the president's death was when a reporter asked me about it in the hall." He was swallowing heavily between sentences, and a look of disgust remained upon his face. He was handcuffed, one man standing on either side of him, holding his arms. He bent over to talk to reporters, but that look of disgust remained on his face, and his voice, as we said, was in a low tone. His left eye showed evidences of the struggle which he had with police this afternoon when he was captured. It was a black eye with a small cut in the upper left-hand corner of the eye. According to District Attorney Henry Wade, he feels that he has enough physical evidence to get an indictment in both murder cases here in Dallas County. He told us a moment ago we're still working on the evidence in this case. And he said, as we had heard, that Oswald still denies killing the president. The man was charged before Justice of the Peace David Johnston of Precinct 2 in Dallas County. He is being held without bond. Police Chief Jesse Curry says that the investigation was waged as a joint effort by the Secret Service, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Public Safety, and Dallas Police. Oswald has now been taken to his jail cell, where he'll remain for the rest of the night, charged and accused of being the man who today took the life of John F. Kennedy and put the nation in a state of mourning and turmoil. This is Bruce Neal, along with Russ Blotsom, reporting from Dallas.
This is KXOL Fort Worth. KXOL will continue to bring you all the important developments in the news.
Once again, in case you have just joined us, let us repeat that a gunman shot Lee Harvey Oswald, of course, the accused killer of President Kennedy, in the stomach. Dallas police quickly seized a man they said was the gunman. The man identified by Dallas police as Jack Ruby, owner of the Carousel Lounge, a striptease place on Commerce Street about four blocks from the city. Oswald said to have been shot once
as the gunman was only about 5 feet away from him. I believe we now have a tape-recorded report from Parkland Hospital. Is it Bob Bruton, Bill? No, it is not Parkland Hospital. It is not Bob Bruton. It is a report from Parkland Hospital. It is from a Parkland Hospital attendant interviewed by Bill Warren.
I've just got word that the victim, Harvey Lee Oswald, has been, Harvey Oswald, has been taken to the emergency room to the surgery of the hospital on the second floor. He was shot once, just below the heart, left side. The extensive injuries at this time are unknown.
Hospital Chief of Surgery, Dr. Tom Shire, says Oswald was shot once in the left side and the bullet remained in his body. As you just heard, a hospital attendant at Parkland being interviewed by a reporter from our sister station at Austin, telling some description, the nature of the wound. And as you heard just a few moments ago from this reporter, the man, Oswald, was reported in extremely critical condition at the hospital. And the hospital chief of surgery saying just moments ago that Oswald was shot once in the left side. The bullet remained in his body. Oswald taken immediately to surgery. Minutes ago, about 15 pints of blood had been rushed to the hospital. The wounded accused killer of President Kennedy was being administered blood transfusion even as he was being carried into Parkland Hospital emergency room number 2 from the ambulance which carried the wounded man to Parkland Hospital. KXOL program director Bob Bruton is there. We haven't heard from him now for about 10 minutes. We hope that shortly he will return to his unit and possibly have Bob, is that you with the report?
10-4 is, Russ. We have just come from a press conference conducted by Mr. Steve Lenderton, the assistant administrator here at Parkland. He quotes Dr. Tom Shire, chief surgeon at Parkland, as saying that Lee Harvey Oswald has been taken to surgery, will remain there for about 2 hours. The bullet entered the lower left side and did not exit. The bullet is still in Oswald. He is undergoing surgery to remove that bullet right now. He is in extremely critical condition, should be in surgery for several hours. He is on the same floor with Governor John Conley, who allegedly shot from ambush last Friday here in Dallas. We'll have more details as they become available first from Parkland Hospital.
Again, let us remind you that as this incredible aftermath of the other tragic event Friday is developing at Dallas and being covered at varied points by KXOL newsmen at the scene, the casket of President Kennedy is moving down Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House this afternoon to the Capitol Rotunda, where it will lie in state until tomorrow. A very morbid contrast to the activities today at this particular minute as compared to the activities of yesterday and of Friday, of course. Members of the President's family, the Cabinet, and government leaders and foreign representatives will be present at ceremonies placing the body in state mourning. That procession moving down Pennsylvania Avenue at this time to the Capitol Rotunda, where it will lie in state until tomorrow. Muffled drums preceding the 7-horse-drawn caisson that bears the casket, the flag-draped casket, in which the body of the late President John Fitzgerald Kennedy lies. The procession moving at a brisk, months, a slow rate, actually. 7 matched white horses drawing the caisson carrying the slain president's coffin. The flag-draped casket preceded and followed by military honor guards and muffled drum corps. We would estimate that crowds along Pennsylvania Avenue, perhaps 6 and 8 persons deep along the sidewalks lining Pennsylvania Avenue. President, Mrs. Johnson, and the widowed former First Lady are following the caisson in automobiles. The presidential flag being carried by a lone member of the armed services, which follows immediately behind the casket. Then the automobiles that carry President and Mrs. Johnson and the widowed former First Lady. Mrs. Kennedy, outside the east room of the White House just prior to the start of the procession, her attire black, as is normally the clothing worn such an event. The sleek limousines proceeding slowly behind the casket of the former First Lady's husband. Once again, we perhaps should recap here a bit for the benefit of those who perhaps have just joined us, perhaps coming from church services, perhaps coming from the noonday meal. A gunman shot Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused killer of President Kennedy, in the lower left side of his chest late this morning, shortly before 11:30. The 24-year-old professed communist slumped down as the shot was fired. Only one shot was fired. Oswald was taken to the emergency room at Parkland Hospital, emergency room number 2. President Kennedy died 10 feet away in emergency room number 1 from assassin's bullets, which police say Oswald fired. Now, if you can get the picture that Oswald was shot as police was leading him from the city jail to take him to the Dallas County Jail. Oswald was carried unconscious inside following the report and was immediately rushed to Parkland Hospital in an ambulance. Later, attendants rushed what appeared to be about 15 pints of blood to the emergency room, A-negative type blood. He was given blood even as the stretcher was being taken into the hospital. The hospital chief of surgery, Dr. Tom Shire, says Oswald was shot once in the left side and the bullet remained in his body. Dallas police identified the gunman as Jack Ruby, owner of the Carousel Lounge, located on Commerce Street, about 4 blocks from Dallas City Hall. Ruby is about 50, a stocky man of medium height, dark hair, light complexion. He's a bachelor, came originally from Chicago. He's been operating entertainment places in Dallas for at least a decade. Ruby owned the Carousel Club, a striptease place in downtown Dallas across from the Adolphus Hotel. He also owns a dance hall in the northern part of Dallas, which is operated for him by a relative. Please keep in mind that as this late development on the whole tragic event which has stunned the nation is taking place at this time and being covered, if we do say so ourselves, admirably by other KXOL news personnel, a more solemn affair taking place in Washington as the casket of President Kennedy is moving down Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House this afternoon. Now we switch to Dallas via telephone for this report from Bruce Neal at the Dallas City Police.
In a matter of a few minutes, we're expecting a press conference downstairs with Police Chief Jess Curry to explain more about the case against Ruby. His attorney tells us that he has not talked to Ruby since the death of the president, and he says he knows nothing about Ruby's political leanings. This is Bruce Neal in Dallas.
We have eyewitness accounts of what is transpiring at this time in Dallas. KXOL newsman Bruce Neal at the Dallas Police Station. KXOL newsman Bob Bruton at Parkland Hospital. He has already given us one report reporting that Oswald is in extremely critical condition in the surgery. I believe we have Bruce Neal now on in one of our mobile units near the Dallas City Police Station. Bruce, go ahead.
This is Bill Hicks in KXOL Mobile News Unit Number 2. We are currently on our way to Dallas to continue the KXOL news coverage of the latest incidents surrounding the assassination of President Kennedy on Friday. Latest reports from Parkland Hospital say that Lee Harvey Oswald, the 24-year-old accused assassin of President Kennedy, is in extremely critical condition and will be undergoing emergency surgery for several hours. The exact nature of his wound is not disclosed, although it is known that it is a bullet shot wound in the lower left abdomen. Bill Hicks reporting KXOL News from Mobile Unit Number 2.
This, another chapter in a bizarre few days in the history of the United States. Today, Lee Oswald, accused assassin of President Kennedy, was himself shot down as he was being transferred from one jail to another in Dallas. Oswald's condition is extremely critical at last report. Oswald's assailant crouched amid a crowd of onlookers outside City Hall and sent a single bullet into the stomach of the 24-year-old suspected assassin. And we have one of KXOL's many mobile news units standing by with a report. We switch to that unit for this report.
This is Bob Britton just outside Parkland Hospital here in Dallas. Just a few minutes ago, Dr. Tom Shires, chief of surgery here at Parkland, issued the following statement. The subject, Lee Harvey Oswald, has suffered a massive injury to the abdomen. Bleeding has been controlled. However, he has suffered a cardiac arrest, and open heart surgery is being performed at this time in an attempt to keep the patient alive. Repeating, Lee Harvey Oswald has suffered a massive injury to his abdomen. Bleeding has been controlled. However, during surgery here at Parkland, he suffered a cardiac arrest, and open heart surgery is being performed at this time in an attempt to keep the patient alive. Bob Britton from Parkland Hospital.
That's the very latest word, and this the latest event in a bizarre few days in the history of the United States. Seized as the point-blank gunman who shot Lee Oswald was Jack Ruby, about 50 years old, a bachelor owner of a downtown Dallas nightclub about four blocks from City Hall. In obvious shock at the death of Kennedy, Ruby had closed his club immediately after the president's assassination. Police who subdued Ruby said he was mumbling to himself. Police Chief Jess Curry was only a few steps ahead of Oswald when the shot rang out. Oswald uttered a sharp cry of anguish, grabbed his stomach, and collapsed. Arrested only a short time after Kennedy was shot during a triumphal Dallas motorcade, Oswald has been questioned intensively at City Hall detention quarters for the past 48 hours. He has consistently denied any knowledge of the president's slaying, but authorities claim they have enough evidence to get the death sentence for him. Apparently satisfied that no information would be forthcoming from Oswald, arrangements were made to transfer him to the Dallas County Jail for safekeeping in a maximum security cell. An armored car was awaiting the transfer. Suddenly, a car drove up and parked. A man got out, leaped a three-foot-high railing, and dashed into the crowd near the waiting police car. Police officer P.T. Dean said, "I saw the man crouch down, then jump up and fire one shot." Television network cameras training on the scene in anticipation of Oswald's jail transfer caught the dramatic action. The shooting created unbelievable pandemonium. Persons on nearby streets rushed toward the police headquarters. One man hurrying to the scene carried a baby bottle filled with milk. Another tried as he ran to focus a small box camera. The only motive police can think of for the shooting of Oswald is smoldering resentment over the president's assassination. Oswald's emergence from City Hall was the first since his arrest. Ruby, a stocky man of medium height with balding black hair, was on friendly terms with many members of the police force who knew him because of his business as a downtown nightclub owner. He owns and operates a carousel club on Commerce Street, one of Dallas's busiest. He also owns a second club in the northern section of the city. Oswald was arrested Friday after Dallas policeman J.D. Tippett was shot and killed during an attempt to intercept him. Tippett apparently had heard an alert for the assassin of President Kennedy, and the sacrifice of his life is credited with thwarting any possible getaway by the suspect. Besides being charged with the two murders, Oswald also is accused of the attempted assassination of Texas Governor John Conley. After he was shot, Oswald was carried back upstairs for emergency treatment and to await an ambulance. He was unconscious at the time. As he was carried later from the ambulance in a stretcher, he appeared motionless. More than a half dozen doctors went to work on the injured man upon his arrival at the hospital. As you heard in that late report from KXOL's Bob Bruton just a short time ago, the suspect is reported to have suffered a cardiac arrest. He is, in other words, having heart failure. And open-heart surgery has been instituted in an effort to keep him alive. The man also is reported to have suffered a massive wound in the abdomen, and his condition is described as extremely critical. So you have a complete wrap-up of the current events. KXOL newsmen continue on the scene in Dallas.